From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. He's behind in the polls and way behind in the race to raise money, but Republican Senator John McCain's campaign is being re-energized. As the presidential caucuses and primaries approach, we've invited all the major contenders to be on this program. Today, it's Senator McCain. My co-host Robert Siegel sat down with the Arizona Republican in a hotel lobby in Spartanburg, South Carolina. McCain campaigned in the state this week, hosting one town meeting after another.
Welcome to my district.
Good to see you again. How are you? Nice to see you. Felt good to see you again. How are you?
At age 71, John McCain is still a relative youngster at the Wildwood Downs Retirement Community in Columbia, South Carolina's capital.
Look at the balloons. My goodness gracious.
He is introduced by his wife, Cindy, who in turn was introduced by his mother, Roberta, who is an energetic 95. McCain jokes that he needs her there to allay concerns about his age. If elected president, he would be the oldest person to assume the office. Senator McCain is pitching three big issues in his South Carolina town meetings: health care, congressional spending, and the war in Iraq. On health care, he's talking about tax credits for insurance, about shopping for health insurance across state lines, and above all, about health care cost controls.
The problem with health care in America is the skyrocketing costs. And we've got to address those costs, or we will never, never get health care available and affordable for all Americans.
On federal spending, McCain deplores earmarks, epitomized by the notorious Bridge to Nowhere in Alaska. Spending, he says, is what cost the GOP control of the Congress.
Republicans came to power in 1994 to change government, and government changed us. We presided over the biggest increase in the size of government since the Great Society.
And then there's the war in Iraq. McCain says we can still succeed. Withdrawing by a date certain would be cataclysmic.
And let me tell you what the Democrats don't understand. They don't understand it's not presidents that lose wars, it's nations that lose wars. And when nations lose wars, nations suffer the consequences.
McCain fields questions about other topics, and after answering reporters' questions in a mini news conference known as a gaggle, he boards his campaign bus, the Straight Talk Express, and heads for lunch at Jimmy's Mart, Columbia Hot Dog Emporium.
Hey, how are you?
Pleasure to see you.
I got a son named Jimmy. I thought maybe you'd named it after him.
There you go. Well, God bless you.
Boy, this is my wife, Cindy, here.
Hi, Cindy. How are you? Such a pleasure to meet you.
Well, I want you to know that I'm a big Bill O'Reilly fan, and I love it when you're on that show.
After small talk over hot dogs, it will be another bus ride, another retirement community, another gaggle, back in the bus, a fundraiser, and miles to go before he sleeps. We met the next morning in the hotel lobby. Senator McCain, welcome.
Thank you.
And let's begin with Iraq. And I want to tell you first what Jimmy Kuhn, the proprietor of Jimmy's Mart, told me after you got back on the Straight Talk Express. He admires you a great deal. He counts himself a patriot. The war in Iraq, he's lost patience with it, and he doesn't see why we should keep troops any further. Might there come a point when, if there are enough Jimmy Kuhns out there, despite what you'd want to achieve in Iraq, when as president you might have to say enough?
Well, in democracies, we all know that the will of the people ultimately prevails. I have, in South Carolina, New Hampshire, Iowa, Arizona, people are frustrated and they're saddened and they're angry. And in some ways, their patience has been fairly extraordinary, because for nearly 4 years, we pursued a failed strategy, telling the American people that there was a few dead enders and we were in their last throes, etc. Meanwhile, their eyes and their senses and their knowledge saw things going in the other direction. I understand all of that. It's voiced to me in every town hall meeting. My job is to do what I think is best for the country. I believe that the president of Iran was correct when he said, when the U.S. leaves Iraq, there'll be a void and we Iranians will fill it. I believe the consequences of failure are catastrophic, and I do believe that the new strategy, very belatedly, is succeeding. And I don't mean to be trite or sound a little bit sarcastic, but I know that in democracies, the ultimately popular opinion prevails, and that's why I hope that we can continue to succeed, because I think Petraeus's performance gave us a little breathing space.
A little breathing space, but it's still a question of performance that you would have to review as president.
Absolutely.
To see if it's worth continuing.
Absolutely, but I also believe within the next months, and I don't know how many, we're going to either see this thing continue to succeed, or we're going to see a deterioration and being forced out. Everybody says it's going to be up to the next president in January of 2009. I'm not so sure, because wars aren't static. Wars either are won or lost, and the American people, I fully understand, are frustrated and have basically run out of patience.
On Iran, is there anything the U.S. should be doing about either Iranian ambitions in Iraq or the Iranian nuclear program that the country is not doing right now?
Absolutely. I'd be on the phone every day with our European allies, and I'd be even visiting them and say, look, the Russians and the Chinese are blocking significant and meaningful action in the United Nations Security Council. Let's impose these sanctions. Right now, major financial institutions in Europe are extending unlimited lines of credit to the Iranians. We can really clamp down on them. Their economy is not strong. Their people are not happy. So there's a lot of things that we can do diplomatically, financially especially, trade a whole lot of areas. And now we've got a president of France who is saying the right things. So yes, I think there's a lot we can be doing rather than making people believe that conflict is inevitable. But I still say again, at the end of the day, a nuclearized weapons in the hands of the Iranians is not acceptable.
But multilateralism there in your approach is key. You're talking about working with allies.
It has to be key, because there's too much financial and other power that the Europeans and others have that we couldn't have much effect by ourselves.
You go to town meetings, you talk about and you're asked about health care, immigration, government spending, Iraq. These are all things that Washington has either failed at completely over the past several years, or in the case of Iraq, that, as you would say, it has mismanaged quite badly. Why shouldn't voters rightly say 2008 is a time for people who haven't been in Washington for the past 20 years and who haven't been party to dropping the ball on so many major concerns?
I think that's a very legitimate question. I think we ought to look at our records. I've fought for 20 years. I've saved the taxpayers $2 billion on a bogus Air Force tanker deal. I have been partially successful, not as successful as I want to be. That's why I want to be president. But the greatest challenge of the 21st century, as we all know, is the threat of radical Islamic extremism. I need no training, no background. My qualifications, I think, I deserve consideration.
Just one, as they say, horse race question before I let you go, which is the consensus, conventional wisdom on your campaign was that it tanked a few months ago. You had to cash in your campaign staff and almost start anew. Part of your mission here seems to be to remind South Carolina primary voters and other primary voters you're still around and you're very much in the race. Do you sense any change in the response you're getting from voters over the past few weeks?
Since Labor Day and since the debate we had in New Hampshire, where my objective observers, I did extremely well, people are starting to pay attention. The turnouts at the town hall meetings are better because people are beginning to realize what a short time this is. So I'm very encouraged. But look, straight talk, we've got a long way to go. We've got to get more money. We've got to get more traction, but the distance we have come in the last month, if we can do that in this month, I'll be very encouraged, recognizing that it's very difficult.
Well, Senator McCain, thank you very much for talking
with us. Thanks for always being with me, and I have had the honor of being on your program for many, many years, many more than I want to remind our listeners.
Arizona Republican Senator John McCain, who spoke with me yesterday in Spartanburg, South Carolina.